When I think of joy, I think of happiness. The happiness that filled this church Friday night was above amazing, to say the least. Joy comes from the love that God pours out to us on a daily basis. He cares deeply about our joy, as we read in John 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. He is telling us that God loves us, so we should remain in his love. He tells us this so that his joy can fill our hearts and our lives, and that joy may be complete. Complete. When I think of the word complete, I think of lacking nothing. Something that is complete doesn't need anything else. It is full. So I wonder, is it even possible to be full of joy? I can think of one person, a few actually, but I'd like to highlight one in particular who comes to mind when I think of full, complete joy. Pat McGee, or as I love to call her, Miss Pat. I love to ask Miss Pat, "How are you?" The answer is always the same. "I'm great, Christine. Every day I wake up is a great day. God gave me another one, and I'm thankful and happy to enjoy it." I always know she's going to answer that way, yet I have to ask her every time I talk to her. I've often told Jimmy when I get off the phone with her how no matter what I'm talking to her about, whether it's a good news or bad news, I always still feel so refreshed after our conversation. I feel a renewed sense of joy. Now, I haven't ever asked Miss Pat this question, but I'm sure if I asked, "Have you lived a life free of problems, never had a problem in your life, Miss Pat?" No, she's like the rest of us. Life has happened to and around her for years. She is not exempt from pain, sickness, grief, anger, bitterness. So what is it? What is it that Miss Pat has that keeps her full of joy? It simply is Miss Pat's choice to love Jesus and accept his complete joy. Like Miss Pat, our lives are full of joyous moments. But often our moments aren't so joyous. We struggle to maintain complete joy. I'll be honest, I wrote this portion of the sermon at 3:30 in the morning on the youth room couch after having traveled to the Polar Express and then dodging snowballs all night at the lock-in. I can't decide if I took one too many snowballs to the head or if it's the lack of sleep, but I felt urged to share a not-so-pretty story about myself, one where I struggled to find joy. And as Jesus would have it, our discussion in Sunday school this morning was on urging us to share those stories and share the testimonies of those times where we don't feel joy, because that is when Jesus can take our hard times and turn them to his use for good. This would be one of those stories that Fred would put an asterisk next to. Not sure if I want to go there. I worry people might think if I actually shared it. But then God gently reminds me of the promise I made to all of you just a few short weeks ago. Remember the challenge I called each of you to make, to find accountability partners to hold you accountable? Well, my growth goal, as I shared with you, was to stop worrying about the opinion of others and only focus on God's opinion of me. His is the only one that matters, and let's face it, only he knows my motives, thoughts, feelings, and what led me to the decisions that I've made. Or he is the only one that has the right to judge. So, as my accountability partners, I am asking you and urging you to allow me to share this story with you. This has been something on my mind for quite some time, a year to be exact. I have to say that I've experienced many joy-filled days. One day in particular, I had been looking forward to my whole life, the day my first baby was born. As with most big days, if you're like me, you begin to plan. You plan out what the day is going to be like, you dream of how it's going to go, and are even fearful of some things going wrong. However, your excitement for the blessed event far outweighs your fears, and you focus on joy. Leading up to JB's birth, I prayed that God would fill our delivery room with angels, that he would use those angels to support me and to keep me calm through one of the most joyous events in my life, and mainly to calm my fears of an IV. That was the one thing I was worried about. I hate needles. I wasn't worried about anything else. So September 14th, 2013 was a Saturday. I woke up a little before 5 o'clock in the morning out of a dead sleep in a very vivid dream. I had been dreaming that I was with Meemaw and Mamama and Granddaddy, who have all passed. And I was with Jimmy's grandparents, who, I have to tell you, died when he was a little boy, so I never had the chance to meet them. They told me that they were going to be with me. As I abruptly came out of this crazy dream, I realized my water had broken. So overjoyed with an amazing answer to prayer, I was beyond excited to get ready to go to the hospital. I woke Jimmy up, let him know that this was it, JB was ready, and I added with enthusiasm, "It's only 5 in the morning. The baby's going to be here in plenty of time for 7 o'clock kickoff for the South Carolina Vandy game." He was going to get to watch the game with us and our families in his precious little Gamecock onesie, and it was packed and in the hospital bag and ready to go. I jumped up, put makeup on, did my hair, because I wanted to be picture ready, of course. And then, oh yeah, I almost forgot to call the hospital. Because my water had broke, they requested that I go ahead and come on in. We parked, walked up to the nurse's station, and I said something exactly this way. "Hi, I'm Christine Lekovich. I called. I'm here to have a baby." I got some really confused looks. The nurses looked at me and said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, I called you." And they said, "No, there's no way that somebody this excited is actually here to have a baby. It's not time." And I foolishly responded, "Oh, no, I'm just so excited that I can't feel the pain." Now, joy can cover up a lot of things. Labor pains is just not one of them. Had this not been my first baby, I suppose I might have known that, but I didn't at the time. Or for a long time, for that matter. After several hours of chatting with our parents who had arrived and writing in JB's baby book, the last time I've written in it, I have to admit, they decided to hook me up to Pitocin to get the contractions going. Fast forward several hours, long past kickoff, and unfortunately still no JB. To make matters worse, we were told that I had developed an infection and JB was going to have to go to the NICU for possibly up to 2 weeks. This is something that I had not planned. I had not seen this in my picture-perfect joyous event. Somehow, I refused to accept this. I convinced myself that I would get my fever, I could will this fever away. I convinced myself that everything was going to be fine. I was so convinced, I actually remained calm when things got pretty scary. Now, I am not a calm person in scary circumstances. Jimmy can completely attest to that. So this was not like me at all. Throughout the middle of the night, I have to give credit to this calmness to one of our nurses. She decided to just sit in our hotel room. Again, I haven't slept much this weekend, sorry. She sat in the hospital room with us, talking to us at 3 o'clock in the morning, sharing stories, all hooking me up to oxygen because JB's heart rate kept plummeting. I wasn't even thinking anything of it. She was just keeping me calm, and for some reason, I thought that she just wanted to be chatty at 3 o'clock in the morning. Finally, around 6 Saturday morning, I was told it was finally time to meet JB. By this point, I had not eaten in 30 plus hours. I had a fever of 104. I had not slept. I don't really remember much except for the doctors and the nurses hitting the call button and screaming some kind of code. My mom and my in-laws can probably attest that that was one of the scariest moments of their life. They're standing in the hallway, and all of a sudden there's crash carts, there's nurses, there's doctors just running into our room, and they can't tell them anything. All of the available staff from the NICU rush into our room. I even had a nurse jump on top of me, pushing on my stomach. It turned out JB had the cord wrapped around his neck, and what they thought was a small 7-pound baby was actually 9 pounds and 23.5 inches long. He was stuck, not breathing, and all the while in an infected water. All I remember was asking, "Is he okay? Is he okay?" For what felt like an eternity, he was not okay. After, I guess, about 10 minutes, they thought he was okay enough to lay him on my chest for a quick picture and then rushed him off to the NICU. We weren't allowed to hold him or even see him for several hours. I remember feeling sick, falling asleep, and when I finally woke up, Jimmy told me he had been allowed to go and actually meet JB, and whenever I was ready, they would wheel me down there. There was my monster amongst the teeny tiny babies born way too early. This wasn't right. My baby was supposed to be with me. My baby wasn't a preemie. This wasn't my picture-perfect joyous birth. My dreams of having this beautiful baby nestled in our room as visitors came and held our sweet boy and quickly passed him back to me because all he needed was his mommy were completely shattered. Instead, I was sent off to a room on the other side of the floor. I was wheeled to go see my baby, who was covered in wires and monitors, with nurses who were there when he cried, when he needed a diaper change. I could give them the cute pajamas, and they would dress him for me. We didn't get to change his diaper until the third day, I think it was. I went from nurturing and growing this baby and being his every need for 9 months to just being a visitor allowed to see him every few hours. Not many people came to see us at this time because we had just moved here. We didn't really know many people, and quite honestly, people just didn't know what to expect because he was somewhere else and I was just not in a good place. I couldn't wrap my mind around this. As the days went on, I was still mad, depressed, distraught, and then I also began to experience immense pang of guilt. There were parents who lost babies. There were parents who went home and had to drive to the hospital for months to see their babies because they were too sick to go home for months. My story breaks my heart, but truthfully, it's not that bad of a story, comparatively speaking. But I just couldn't get over it. A month after we were home, I had time to bond. I had time to change plenty of diapers, but I still couldn't shake that feeling. I realized I had stopped praying. I'd stopped reading my devotionals. Our pediatrician gave very strict instructions not to take JB out in crowds for at least 8 weeks, so I wasn't coming to church. I had stopped talking to God and instead was pouting with him. I began to feel dumb for believing that dream was actually God speaking to me with the angels. I can't believe I was foolish enough to believe that a God would send angels to me, specifically grandparents like that. What a fool I was. One day, I fell to my knees, and I angrily accused. You promised. You promised me that you would have angels in there, and everything would be perfect. Why would you taunt me with such a promise and a vivid dream, and then rip those dreams away from me? How could you lie to me like that? Are you even there? Is this all even real? And somehow, over my loud accusations, God spoke to me. I was. The angels weren't a lie. Why do you think the angels were there, Christine? I was protecting you. I was protecting JB. You wanted a beautiful, healthy baby. Did I not give you that? It wasn't the picture-perfect moment that I had dreamed of before he was born, but now I wouldn't have it any other way. God spared my baby that day. As I mentioned, there were a ton of people in our room, wonderful nurses and doctors who had been doing this profession for years. They remarked this was the first birth they actually cried through, and I know why. God's presence was so strong in that room, even people who were not emotionally attached to our situation were moved to tears. He had filled the room with angels, and I wasn't the only one who felt them. I was just too blind to see the most joyous event, my baby was alive. And all because my false sense of joy should look like was overshadowed by God's joy. I read this dialogue between an author and God once and felt an instant connection to it with this story. I think you will too. The person speaking in a tizzy. God, can I ask you something? Sure. God, you promise you won't get mad at me? I promise. Frustrated, I asked, why do you let so much stuff happen to me today? God replied, what do you mean? And he spoke up, well, I woke up late. Yes. My car took forever to start. Okay. At lunch, they made my sandwich wrong, and I had to sit there and wait. God replied, mm-hmm. Well, then on the way home, my phone went dead just as I was picking up a phone call. All right. Loudly, I continued, and to top it all off, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in the foot massager and relax, but it didn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that? Anybody ever have a day like that? Everything just kind of happens. God answers, well, let me see. The death angel was at your bed this morning, and I had to send in another angel to battle him for your life. I just let you sleep through that. Humbled, I said, oh. Well, and I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on your route that might have hit you if you were on the road. Ashamed, I had no words. The first person who made your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they have because I know you can't afford to miss work. Embarrassed, I responded, oh. Oh, and your phone went dead because the person that was calling was going to give false witness about what you said on that call, and I didn't even want to let you have to deal with that. Softly, I just said, I see. Oh, and the last thing, that foot massager, it had a short in it that was going to throw out the power of your house in your house tonight. I just didn't think you wanted to be in the dark. Wow. I'm sorry, God, is all he could say. Don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me in all things, the good and the bad. I will trust you, God. And God said, and don't doubt that my plan for your day is always better than your plan. I won't, God. And let me just tell you, God, thank you for everything today. God said, you're welcome, child. It was just another day being your God, and I love looking after my children. If you're human, life is like that all the time. We get angry when things don't go the way we want them to. We let Satan rob us of our joy when God is sitting there looking at us saying, can't you see? I did answer your prayers. I did look after you. I am right here. Don't let Satan rob your joy. Think through your circumstances that you're going through. Pray that God would open your eyes to the silver lining. It's there. It's always there. Unfortunately, sometimes we just choose not to see it. When we let go of our ideas, our wants, and selfish desires, then and only then can we feel God's complete joy. We don't get to have that conversation with God like our author of that dialogue did. One day we will, and I have a pretty good idea it'll be very similar. God is always protecting us, wanting to give us pure joy. We just need to be more like Miss Pat. We need to accept his complete joy. We need to trust in our Savior that even when we can't see the dangers lurking, he's there fighting them for us, protecting us, and making sure we do have a life full of joy, just as he intended us to have. So what do we do from here? I suggest another challenge for you, like I did a few weeks ago. I challenge you to begin each day with a prayer. I challenge you to pray that God would open your eyes to his love. Open your eyes to the ways that he is protecting and helping and guiding you. I challenge you to get so lost in his love this week that you can't help but feel full, complete joy every day and all day. And I know that the slide doesn't say this, but again, this is definitely a God moment. When we were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about how sometimes it's good just to have somebody to talk to have somebody that you can go to and share and who can understand the pain and help you through that. So be each other's accountability partners. That's still a piece of it from last week when I spoke. Keep each other accountable and don't be scared to open up those testimonies of times when you've gone through hard times because you never know who you could be helping. Thank you.